Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, and welcome back to an hour of open lines here for you during the middle of the week. Next hour, Nancy Leader joins us as we talk about Planet X and some strange things happening. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment, and also we do take your texts, tweets, and again, Skype is open if you want to try it, George97313. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Eric in Indiana to get things started. Hey, Eric, how are you?
George!
Hello there.
Hey, this is Eric, the mind control guy. How's everybody doing tonight?
Everybody is wonderful.
Excellent. I was wanting to talk to you about the zombie apocalypse that's been talked so much about.
Sure.
And I didn't know if how much your buddies Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura has discussed it, but you know, one thing I've noticed since at least 1969, if not before, and basically for the last 47 years, and the last 16 years in particular, we've been inundated with zombie movies, reanimated.
Oh, my God, yeah. Everywhere.
Images. It's like we're being conditioned to where when it's finally out in the open, people aren't so shocked. Just like the UFO thing. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard of it, and I imagine you've even talked about that drug that has, that street drug that has surfaced in the last year is called Flaca?
Yes.
The zombie drug.
It's a zombie drug. It turns these people into wackos.
Exactly. And what I was kind of wondering is, in the clandestine world of just unimaginable things that go on without our knowledge, do you think, or maybe Alex thinks, it is very, very possible that there is going to be some group out there that puts this Flaca drug either in our water supply or make it airborne?
Or both.
Yeah, exactly. Because you think about it, DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, and other agencies, for some reason, unknown to us, has bought up, over 4 billion rounds of hollow points
and
all kinds of other weapons of war. And the only thing that I can really think of is they intend to go to war with the American people.
And what about the body bags they bought?
Exactly. I mean, I just have this going in my head, you know, for quite a few years now, and I am thinking that we have been so saturated with all these images, you know, of these zombies, these reanimated, and if you go to your average gun store and the Walmart, and you go to where they have targets for, like, target shooting, it is no longer, you know, the bad guy in the mask with the gun. It's images of zombies.
Zombies. No, you're right. Eric, how long does ammo last? Untouched in a box?
I've had some ammo for 30 years, and it's still good, as long as it is stored cool and dark, and it doesn't have moisture to it.
Okay, that's it. The moisture is important.
But I wanted to bring this topic up because I was going to see maybe if you could get a hold of your buddies Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura and ask them about this.
Okay, yeah, I will. Alex just called us a couple days ago and said, what do you think of this election? What's going on? What do you think? And you know Alex, one of a kind. But I will. We'll talk about the zombie apocalypse. That might even be a good show all by itself. West of the Rockies, David in Florence, Arizona. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, George.
Hi there.
Good morning, America.
Hey, I got a real bad hum from you, David. I'm going to have Tom try to get a better connection with you. Might even have to call you back, and then we'll get you back on. Ann in Pennsylvania, first-time caller, welcome to the show. Hi, Ann.
Hi there, George Norrie. I'm so glad I got in. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while.
Well, you made it.
Yeah. Well, this situation, you know, with our country, I guess, has me concerned. There's the voting thing, for one thing. In this city here where I'm living, there's people concerned that in several districts of Pennsylvania here, that George Soros, who funds the Black Lives Matter movement and travels these protesters around the country and pays them thousands of dollars, that he had bought up some of the voting machines. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I know people that are concerned because he knows the Clintons, and he has some of a shady background. I'm not sure what he's involved in, different things, you know, I heard.
Are you disappointed with this upcoming election, Ann?
I am, yes. I'm very disappointed. We're very concerned about our rights. That's the biggest thing. I just feel that we're losing our rights. I see our neighborhoods going, our churches are taken away, and the schools are all consolidating, and you see these like 60 buses going down with the school kids, and it just gives you a creepy feeling. You don't even see kids out playing anymore, you know, much. It's
God, we used to play out there all the time. We used to come home from school. That's the first thing we do before you even studied. Go out in the streets and play.
Right. And then also there's a thing going around. People are talking about the UN has signed, that Secretary Kerry signed a treaty with the UN in 2013 that will give them the right to control, put some control on our guns here in America. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well, they would have the right to move troops in here if they have to, and I don't want to see that either. Well, Tom, we've got another text or tweet, and then we'll have one more at the half mark.
We do, from text. It is a text from Sonia in Colorado. I was in the Marines, and I'm wondering which candidate you think is more likely to help our vets.
I would think probably Donald Trump, but I think Hillary would try to somewhat. We need to really redo everything in terms of helping our vets.
The system
we have in place right now is not a good one. I know that you became familiar with the vets last year, Tom, when you did the Holiday Magic Christmas CD and donated the proceeds to vets. I mean, you saw what they use and what they don't have. It's a mess. You know, some vets dying, waiting to see a doctor
George,
in VA hospitals.
Danion Brinkley took me on a tour of a VA hospital. And there's one thing I will never forget, and this is kind of weird, but when we walked towards all the rooms and then we went into the kitchen area, there was a vet eating vegetables. And I happen to like broccoli a lot.
Yes,
this broccoli looked so bad. I'm like, how can they feed that to them?
Like old?
Yeah. Like, these are our guys. How can they do that? And that,
see, I propose.
Never left my mind.
And what I would have done was I would have done away with all the VA hospitals and let them go to our regular hospitals, our good hospitals, and that the government would pick up the tab.
Yeah.
That's what we should do, because Your better doctors are there. Your facilities are there. We should be out of the hospital business as a country.
Now, I did hear Trump mention hospitals. I haven't heard Hillary, but, you know, you hear stuff. So,
but to answer that text message, I would think he would. But, you know, keep in mind, neither one of them has military training. You know,
but Trump seems to know how important the military is.
Yeah, well, she does, too.
I think he vocalizes it more.
She does, too. You know, he's, I just don't know. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to make our staff predictions as we get close to November 8th.
It's going to be crazy.
But I'm going to tell you, it is unbelievable. Who do we have to date for our five-hour live election night, November 8th?
Jerry Corsi, Howard Bloom,
John Curtis,
Dick Morris,
John Hogue.
John Hogue, and I haven't heard back from Bev Harris yet, but I'm sure I will.
And probably a few other people will be popping in and out.
A few other people, I'll just say right now.
You know, 5 hours live coverage.
5 hours, we're ready.
We're going to be here, folks. Don't go away.
Dan and I are ready.
Now, some of our affiliates carry only the four-hour show. Others carry the 5 hours. You know, they run the first hour again. That's where we're going to pop in for 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, they'll get the choice.
So, you know, we're doing that. And I just figured, you know, we may not have any results that by that time, so we might as well stay on. And rather than run the tape the first hour, that would be dated, you know.
I am trying. I haven't heard back from him, but I'm trying to get Dan Rather, too.
Yes, he would be good, even if he comes on for just a little bit.
Yes.
In the news hour, for example.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hello, Gordon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, long time no see. I wanted to rebut or offer some clarification as some of the liberals have misapprehended Donald Trump's statement, as George W. would say. They misapprehended it. Donald Trump didn't say that he was going to go rogue and violate the law. He did the same thing that Al Gore did in 2000. Al Gore felt that there was some laws that might have been broken or that they weren't sure about the vote. They needed to challenge it or check it out. And so Donald Trump only said the same thing that Al Gore said, but Al Gore is an elitist liberal. And there was a few commentators on CNN that were conservatives and brought this point up. And it was okay for Al Gore to contest the election because he's an elitist liberal. But for Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump is not psychic, okay, like Daniel Brinkley. He can't predict the future. So for him to say, I don't know, we'll wait and see, is the right answer. And here's
well, yeah, but his running mate said unconditionally, we will support the outcome. So
well,
you,
that's,
you,
that's stupid you, because you have to wait until he probably will. You know what I'm saying? We have to wait and see. What if there's a lot of people that are dead voters that are on the roll? But here's something that's really important. A lot of people are Second Amendment fans in your listening audience. Hillary Clinton said that the Heller decision was bad. Now, the Heller decision said that the District of Columbia could tell a federal police officer he could not keep a gun in his own home.
That's right.
If they can do that to a federal police officer, what will happen to me or you? I don't want Hillary Clinton anywhere near the Oval Office picking Supreme Court justices that are going to take our rights away. I mean, am I correct or am I not correct in my assertion that she's for overturning the Heller decision, and that could strip us of our rights?
Well, we don't know, Gordon. She's a little coy about all of that. You know, she says she supports the Second Amendment,
yeah,
but I'm not sure she does.
So many lies. George, it doesn't matter what she says. You would hear Jim Comey is her friend, the FBI guy that protected her, okay? And he said, no, this is the case, and she would say, that's the case. This guy's her friend, and he said that what she said was false. You remember that one guy that was in the Navy or something, he took one little photograph, he got put in jail like some four-star
yep.
general. I don't remember. There were several people that did little minor things, accidentally handling things. They got to jail for years. Hillary Clinton did far worse than that, okay? And intention is not something that they look at. They say intent should be for criminal, but regardless, okay, they put them away for years for something really small, okay? So the point that I'm saying is she's been in the Senate for ages. And she had maybe a few good things, and she dropped them. She was a do-nothing senator.
It would have been nice if they also would have said, either one of them, let's bring Edward Snowden back and not prosecute him.
Well, that's interesting. The I would hate to now I hate to depend on WikiLeaks as my only source of information, but Hillary did not rebut it. She was for open borders, and I don't hate people from other countries. And one of the commentators on CNN was too harsh on Donald Trump. He said that this guy was prejudiced because he said there were some bad hombres. Donald Trump has repeatedly said that there are a lot of good Hispanic people, okay, and he's not prejudiced. And so the point of the borders is that there's nothing wrong with having the borders regulated because the people, like Donald Trump said, the people that followed the law that were here legally, they follow the rules, and to have someone jump across the borders illegally is not right.
Well, exactly. I mean, that Donald has stressed that, and he has said illegal immigration, illegal. Look, folks, you can look at immigration one of two ways. One is quotas to get people in legally, going through our laws and our system to get to be a citizen. Or you no longer have a country of borders, and you let everybody flock in from any place they want, from Mexico, from Canada, from anywhere they want, as long as they can get into the country and let them in. I mean, that's the other possibility, and I think that's wrong. I don't have any problems with people legally becoming citizens of the United States. Once we control it and once we vet it, and once we go through and find out who are these people and check into them so we're not letting muggers and murderers and thieves into the country. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. And I will say this for Donald Trump. He has talked about illegal immigration. Illegal. Now, if you don't think it's illegal to come into the country without our laws, then nothing's going to change your mind. Nothing's going to change your mind. Let's go to Roger in Redding, California. Hey, Raj, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, George.
Hey there, what a night.
I just wanted to share with you, when Trump was here at the Redding Airport in June, I guess it was, I weaseled my way right up front, and I got close enough to him where when he came off the stage, I was there, and he got right in front of me, and he shook my hand, and he signed my hat. And, George, it was one of the most sincere handshakes I've ever had in my life, and I'm not just saying that. It was like I squeezed, then he squeezed, then I squeezed, and then he really squeezed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like one of those moments in life. But since then, I have this signed hat, and I've wore it in around town and stuff, and I get weird looks sometimes, and sometimes people talk to me, and sometimes people avoid me.
Right.
It's kind of funny. But I just wanted to share that, and that actually happened.
Well, and here's the other thing. No matter what happens on that election night, we as a nation need to support whoever becomes president. And my concern is that this is a 50-50 divide, and that's very, very unhealthy. And we've seen it happen before, and it just doesn't work as a nation. It's not good. And, you know, rioting and shooting and going crazy because your candidate doesn't get elected is not going to cut it. And I don't want to see this country pulled down to that level. And so whether you like them or not, you got to support them and give them that fair chance. Let's see what they can do. And you know what? If they fail, you can get them out in 4 years. You go back into that little election booth and you vote for somebody else. And that's a distinct possibility. Distinct possibility indeed. Look, we're going to come up to the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back. And again, somebody send me, I want to see if it's working. Somebody send me a Skype at George97313. Somebody at the computer, just send us a Skype. Tom's there to get it. And we'll see what's happening. I haven't seen a Skype caller pop in. Geez, about a week or a month. No, we had had the guy from the Netherlands called us, Marcus. Marcus called in, but that's been about it. So let's check that out for you. Anybody who has Skype, check in with Tom. I want to see if that works. You know, we were one of the first talk shows in the world to install Skype to allow people to call in from all over the planet. And I love that thing. You know, when Fukushima happened, that horrible earthquake tsunami, we were getting Skype calls from Tokyo. I mean, that thing is so valuable to me. So let's test it out. And we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We've got another half hour to go of open line calls. And then next hour, our special guest, Nancy Leader, joins us as we talk about the Zetas. Oh, we'll be back in a moment with your open line calls next hour. Nancy Leader back after a five-year hiatus on Coast to Coast, talking about the Zetas, Planet X, Earth changes, and so many other things. All right, great. Welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast. And our first-time caller, Santa Cruz, California. Tally is with us on Coast to Coast. Love it up there. Hi, Tally.
Oh, this is Tally.
Tally.
Tally, like the letter A, make it tall.
Tally, there you are.
The what it means? It means bring peace.
I love it. Thank you.
And we met at the San Mateo New Living Expo last year, George.
I had a great time there.
Yes.
I remember your name now.
Yes, you gave a brilliant speech. You had us all laughing at the beginning, and you ended it with an appeal and a concern you voiced to all of us. It was very moving about how you see the planet eventually moving towards peace.
That was a great time up there.
Of you, George.
Thank you.
And I called because, I don't know if you're aware of this, but 43 million strong Americans with student debt can decide the 2016 presidential race.
They sure can. Overnight.
43 million. And it's not just students. It's people who are in their 30s and 40s. There's grandparents. There's parents who are also in on that debt.
Gosh, there's a lot of money out there, isn't there?
43 million. And the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, Dr. Jill Stein, she's the only candidate who will cancel student debt. She's not talking about renegotiating debt. She's about canceling it. And the way she does it, she appoints a new chair. As president, she would appoint a new chair of the Federal Reserve to be a chairman or a chairwoman, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
and then instruct the chair to cancel the debt, to write off the debt.
And everybody, everybody's free. Now, what?
3 million Americans would be motivated to really be free of debt, and they would have, be stimulating the economy.
Well, here's the thing, though. What, colleges, would they still charge people to attend?
Well, she's for free tuition eventually, too.
But who's going to pay that? Somebody's got to pay these teachers.
No, listen, Obama and the government bailed out Wall Street bankers with $17 trillion.
So you're saying they got the money?
They, yeah, and this is a fraction of that.
Well, it's,
I think
that's
it's like $1.3 trillion.
That's that. Hey, it's intriguing. I mean, my son has some student debt. My daughter has student debt because I help them. I've got student debt. Yeah, that's going to be a big issue. We're going to see if anybody does anything about it. You know, by the way, I've got here in this cave-like structure studio. It used to flood like crazy, and it's been pretty good lately. But I went out and bought some insect strips that are sticky because in the summer, crickets are in here and little beetles and stuff like that. And when I'm in L.A., and I come back, I don't want the studio overrun by bugs. So I have these little sticky things that you fold together, and they look like almost like a little round ball, except they're open. And then the sticky part is on the bottom. And if you're a bug and you hit that sticky part, you don't get out. So this is my last week in St. Louis before I head back to L.A. I'm looking at these bug sticky things. And they are loaded with insects that they have caught over the past month. Loaded. Spiders, crickets, centipedes. I mean, it's a who's who of bugs. And I put like five of them all over the place, and they're all full. And I don't want to touch them. I don't want to grab them. But I got to throw them out and set new ones. But unbelievable. I don't know if any of you have ever used that. But Tally, thanks. And you're right about the student debt. It's out of control. Skype is working. Josh in Pennsylvania is with us. Hey, Josh, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Great. Hey, thanks for checking out our line for us. You sound good.
Thanks. I've been going through a lot of health problems over the past year. I lost my dad last year and everything. And Biscuits Day really keeps me entertained at night. I have trouble sleeping. And I really enjoy listening to your show. I've been listening to your show since, like, 99, 2000.
Thank you. Sorry to hear about your dad. I lost mine 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
I guess it's hard. It's hard to deal with the death of loved ones.
Oh, not easy, Josh. It's not easy. Let me tell you. But you gotta.
Yeah, definitely, this show definitely helps me like cope with everything. Like I'm up at night all the time and go through a lot of depression.
I think it's my therapy too. Believe it or not.
I was on you guys' website the other night. CoastToCoastAM.com, and I noticed that article on Max Spears.
Yeah, he died mysteriously. He's the ufologist. He died on a couch in Poland. He was there to give a speech.
I sat up all night that night. I read that article and got me interested, and I went on YouTube, and I watched all the stuff that he's done. He's only been speaking out for the past 2 years. It started in, like, 2014.
Somebody said he was, like, vomiting black liquid or something like that.
Yeah, they said they were trying to blame it on a drug overdose or something, but I think it might have been something different than that. I think maybe he was
poisoned,
opening up too many different things he was talking about. I think maybe
he might have been. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling and thanks for checking out our Skype line for us. I appreciate that. Tom, final little message. What do we have?
Hey, who sweeps your floors when you're in L.A.? Why do you have so many bugs?
Nobody sweeps the floors when I'm in L.A. You know, the studio's locked up and sealed up.
Oh, that's why.
But they come. I mean, you know what a cave looks like, right?
I do.
This is a cave structure. And when they built it, they built inside of this cave structure. And it's old. It's really, really old. So bugs come in and bugs go out. And I've got these. You know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do for you, Tom.
For me.
At the top of the hour, I'm going to take a picture of one of these things I'm talking about.
What, a bug?
The thing that catches them. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And you'll see.
Where do you think I'm from? I've seen these. They're strips.
No, it's not a strip.
Oh, it's not?
No.
It's not like they catch the flies with?
No. Those strips that hang? No, it's not that at all. Anyways, what's our
message? This is a text from Sal in New Jersey. George, if Donald Trump wins the election, what would happen to Hillary?
She'll go off into Never Never Land, I guess. That's a good question. Would she want to stay in politics? Would she retire from all of that? Who knows? Who knows what her real health situation is? That's a good question. Now, if Hillary wins, Donald would, of course, just go off to his businesses and things like that. Here's the interesting thing. Do you think either one of them would be vindictive? Like Donald saying she should be in jail right now. And if she gets elected president, is she going to go after him too? It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Uh-huh.
Or do they just like, you know, wash their hands and walk away?
If she wins, I can see Donald pushing it.
Pushing what?
Trying to find something illegal to get her. I could definitely see that.
He's going to have to be careful because she's going to unleash all kinds of things on him.
Yeah, I know. What I don't see is if Donald Trump wins, I don't see Hillary working anywhere near him. I don't think she wants
to. I don't
to.
Think she would want to run for the Senate again or anything like that. I would say her political career is probably over.
Yeah. The way she was looking at him in her eyes, I just don't think she wants to work near him.
There's no love lost there.
That's it.
Joe in Vegas, welcome to the program. Hi, Joe.
George, good morning. We had a heck of a thing going on in this town.
Oh, my gosh. And it was more than casinos, that's for sure.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, I've always wanted to ask you this, just off the cuff. Where do you believe President Obama was born?
I believe that he was born in Hawaii.
Okay.
Because it was so many years and they couldn't verify exactly what they had, but I'm convinced he was born in Hawaii. I wish it would have been a little easier back during his election campaign to be able to just say, hey, this is where I am. I mean, I was born in Detroit, Mercy Hospital. I've got my birth certificate. Everybody that knows me knows I was born there. End of story. But in his case, I was on the fence for a while, Joe, thinking maybe
I was in agreement from the get-go. I mean, yes, he had an exotic background for the very fact that that he lived in Indonesia for a while and stuff. But the very idea of that was pretty much orchestrated by Trump in terms of trying to delegitimize this man.
Yeah.
You know, he has been an eloquent leader and a tremendous speaker. And the very fact is, I've got to lay something on your audience. You know what happened on August the 15th of this year, 2016?
Tell me.
The Dow hit an all-time high of 18,866.
Okay.
You know what the Dow was in October 21st of 2008?
It was pretty low.
7,900.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's been a huge run. Huge run.
So the thing is that look what President Obama inherited: two wars. Okay. And by the way, the Iraq-Afghanistan war was never put on the books. So what the president did immediately was put the war expenses, and onto the books, and it immediately caused a deficit, and everybody started pointing at the president saying, you see, these darn Democrats are spending liberal spending.
I think, Joe, had he backed off on the health plan, and either stayed away from it or came up with something else, he would have been looked at as an amazing president right now.
Well, you know, the only sad thing about it was this: we elected the first black president. We should be proud of that very fact. I mean, just the idea that we've come a long way from Jim Crow.
Yes.
But there was a compact with the Republican legislators that simply said, for the next 4 years, we are going to stonewall this guy, despite how good it was. Because one of the greatest things that could have possibly happened was what was called the American Jobs Act, which would have caused infrastructure as well as infrastructure banks. Money was extremely cheap, and things could have been humming a lot quicker. He saved the auto industry. And by the way, the thing about our military being depleted, do you realize that we outspend the next 25 nations combined, and 24 of them are our allies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Of course, China's going to outspend us this year.
Are they really?
China will, yeah. They're pouring everything into it now.
Well, they seem to be pouring it into their space programs and not so much into their military.
Well, I included space as part of their military because I think they've got different reasons they want to go to space.
Well, I just wanted to put this thing into perspective because Hillary isn't the 10th head of the devil, and Donald Trump certainly does not have the timber, the temperament, and certainly not the intellect to be the president. And now that he's thrown this hand grenade, well, maybe I'll concede. This is not the way that this country has worked. I mean, I was really angry in 2000 because Gore lost. But he was eloquent about it. He stepped up to the plate. He was a man about it. And he said, George Bush is now our president.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the state of Florida saying we're going to have to recount this, he did go out with class.
Well, you know, in truth, Al Gore had over 400,000 votes in terms of
He won the popular vote.
Yes, he did. Okay, so, I mean, you win some, you lose some, but I think that this is a very much a very black mark on this magnificent thing we call our democracy.
I agree. I think it's embarrassing the way this whole thing's been handled. I think other countries are looking at us going, what are they doing?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. You're absolutely dead on. I have some friends in Denmark who email me, and they're saying the same thing. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And just because this Midtown orange clown narcissist doesn't necessarily get his way, because when something does go askew, it's the microphone's fault. It's the earpiece fault. It's media. When media was giving him nothing but time, $2 billion worth of free time, media was okay.
So the big question is, who wins? What do you think? If it were held today,
I would bet dollars to donuts, Hillary. It's hands down. This thing is over.
Is it going to be close or a landslide?
No. I think that Hillary would probably win by, I would say, I'm going to throw out there by at least four and a half.
That's close, though. I think that's close.
Well, we're so divided. I mean, that's the sad thing about it. I think the thing is...
As I was just saying, we're going to have a divided nation, regardless of who wins.
We're always at 50, we're always at, you know, 51-49 type of a thing.
Well, look how close the Nixon-Kennedy election
is. Yes.
I mean, that's something.
I mean, that was by 100,000 votes.
Yeah, that's nothing. Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. And I'm glad everything went well in Vegas, but I'm really glad the presidential debates are over. Time for a few more calls here. Julia Lynn in Orange, California. Hello there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I think we're all lucky enough to have a perfect example of how Hillary, whether a Democrat or Republican or undeclared, is going to interact with America and Americans' military. She gave the perfect example. Her very good friend, which she would actually go to his house, and along with Bill, and Bill would invite them to their house, was the ambassador to Benghazi. That very good friend, on a very desperate anniversary date of 9/11, sent over 600 emails to her, as well as called and text, and all went unresponsive.
Yep.
And if she had picked up the phone or responded to the email, then it would no longer be a spontaneous riot. It would be obvious and declared by the ambassador to Benghazi that it was an actual terrorist attack. And that was not what was on the agenda for the day. So she was willing to let her friend go quietly into the night to make sure she maintained the agenda that they had. And she was willing to actually then say it was a videographer that caused the spontaneous riots even though for hours up until the last moment of his breath, emails were sent and texts and phone calls to his personal cell phone because they were friends, went unresponsive. And the question is, why don't we all find out what Hillary wants so that we can understand what our future is going to be?
Most people, Julia, merely are interested in how someone looks, what they're wearing, and their sex life. When John Kennedy had his debates with Richard Nixon, nearly everybody said, listening on the radio to the debates, that Nixon won. And he won big time on the issues. But everybody that watched the television show saw a very well-tanned John F. Kennedy with makeup and against a very scruffily bearded un-makeup because Nixon refused to have makeup. But people picked Kennedy based on how he looked. Those debates saved him and the way he looked went down in history as the way to present yourself on television to influence people. I mean, I used to use it as a training guide for executives when I was doing that in that facet of my career. And I mean, they were astonished at how things were. Anyway, that's our Sound Off open lines for this week. We're going to have the weird and strange on Friday. And when I come back in a moment, Nancy Leader back on Coast to Coast, Planet X.